Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show with Mike Wood, coming to you live from the City of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 18th day of July, 2016. Well, we're waiting now for Coach Richard Hayes of the Fayetteville State University Broncos to call in, and as soon as he calls in, we'll get him on the air. Don't forget now, programming note for tomorrow night here on the Overtime Sports Show, we have Ty Grace, the head women's basketball coach at Howard University in Washington, D.C. She'll be calling in and talking about all that is Bison basketball. And also tonight on the Overtime Sports Show, don't forget, as usual, Linda Van Smith will be the co-host. So is Linda and Mike, and we are here on the Overtime Sports Show. Now calling in is Coach Richard Hayes. Good evening, Coach Hayes. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
Oh, just fine. And welcome to the Overtime Sports Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you are absolutely welcome, sir. It's an honor to talk with you. And let's jump right into it. Let's tell the listening audience out there a little bit about your background and what brings you to Fayetteville State.
Well, I started coaching college football in 1998 at North Carolina A&T State University. I was fortunate enough to be there for five seasons, won one championship in 1999, and then I got out of coaching for a while. I went to the high school ranks, got back in the college ranks in 2010 at Winston-Salem State, where we had a very successful run over the past 5 years, winning three championships and making a national championship game appearance. So now here I am at Fayetteville State, excited to be a Bronco, and want to restore the glory to Bronco Ranch.
Well, I tell you what, Coach, they have perennially been one of the tougher teams in the CIAA Southern Division. I mean, there's two things you knew when you went in to play Fayetteville. One, they just weren't going to give up. And two, they were going to be extremely, extremely physical. And that's what they built there. It seemed like that's what they, you know, cut their chops on, was they wanted to get out there and just knock your brains out. And then, you know, how we used to say it all the time, you know, in the huddle, they'd rather knock your brains out than score a touchdown. But things have changed a little bit now. It's where they think that, yeah, that final score doesn't matter a whole lot. But tell me something. What about the difference since you've had that experience of coming from, you know, college back to high school to college, and you can compare experiences? What did you find the most, the thing that had changed the most when you went from college to high school and back to college? What have you noticed about the athletes over the years that's changed the most?
The biggest difference is that they come in already big, fast, and strong. The high school programs are now doing a great job with strength and conditioning. So a lot of players are coming in, benching over 300 pounds, running sub 4.5 40s, and it's, back in the day it wasn't like that. You had to develop those guys now. That they're starting to come in now, already developed.
Now let's run it forward to last year's team. Last year's team, you were 4-6 overall, 4-3. I got a chance to scan some of the statistics, and really the difference between, you know, winning and losing, it seemed like to me last year, was a couple of, you know, long drives and a couple of sustained drives because of the number of you know, over the season, the number of drives you had, but you didn't complete them. It was like, you know, they just stalled out or something. You know, you commanded the clock, you made the clock run, but you just didn't get the reward at the end. Have you brought in any recruits this year, or how has your offense changed this year to try to put more points on the board, and how has your defense improved to keep the other team off the board, which is important too?
Well, the first thing that we're going to do offensively that's going to be a little different for our fans and our alumni is that we're going to go into more of a pro-style offense. We're going to put a fullback in the game. We're going to have a tight end out there at times. But we're also going to be able to go out, spread you out with 4 and 5 wide receiver sets. Defensively, the guys, they were pretty good on defense last year. We brought in a couple of guys, D-lineman-wise, to help us out because we have to be able to stop the run. And then once we evaluate those guys in the spring, we found that we needed some help in the secondary, some major help in the secondary. So we went out and recruited a few guys to help us get a little stronger on the back end because we can't have you know, third and long, and then guys, teams converting on us, third and 15, they're passing for first downs. That kind of stuff cues you in the game.
I tell you what, it kind of rips your guts out. You work that hard to get those guys in the hole, and then they get 16 yards. I mean, that just, that's one thing that just smacks the defense in the face. And it demoralizes the team, and most of all, it keeps their drive alive and gives them hope. And one thing you don't want to do in this game is give the other team hope. You just want to take that away from
them. That's exactly right.
Yeah, did you bring any recruits in this year that will help you shore up that defensive secondary, which is a very important thing?
Yes, in the spring we brought in Brian Walker, who transferred to us from the University of North Carolina. He had three successful seasons down there in Chapel Hill and decided to play his last season with the Broncos. We've also signed a young man out of UNC Charlotte, Tank Norman. He also was a defensive back. He has 1 year to play. And we have a wealth of young guys here, but we also need them to understand how the game is played. So those older guys we're leaning on heavily this year to try to teach those young guys. We have, you know, the one-year guys need to teach the younger guys how we want to play Bronco football. So I think that's going to help us tremendously.
Yeah, I can, you know, I always go back on the experience I had as a freshman there at Winston-Salem State a long time ago. And, you know, I was, you know, hot shot coming out of high school, thought I knew how to play football and everything, you know. And, you know, we had a couple of weeks there of, you know, just shimmels just running around in shirts and T-shirts and shorts, you know, because of the rules and stuff. So, you know, when the hitting started, the actual what we call, you know, live day started, we were scrimmaging. The coaches, of course, you know how it is with the young players who put you out there. You're more or less, quote, the scout team against number one and number two. So you're out there, and, you know, you're out there to learn. And the first snap of the ball, a freshman, all right, and the first time they snapped the ball, I actually did not move. I stood right there and watched things happen in front of me. It happened so fast because in high school, I could take that little old 275-pound lineman, grab him in the chest, throw him where I want to throw him, I'm good. Well, when you play college ball, that same lineman pulled out to get you. The only thing he knows is he wants to eat your liver. That's all he knows. He don't care about nothing else. And that sucker hits you. You hit, you stuck, and you on roller skates. And when he comes to get you, he got you. You ain't lying. You better find some dirt or holler for help or call your mama or something to write a note because he's coming. And I'll never forget, the coach came up behind me. He tapped me on the helmet. I turned around. I had this look over my face. He said, "Welcome to college football, son. Don't you ever do that again."
That's right.
Don't you ever do that again. Yeah, I mean, because that's exactly what happened. And when you get freshmen out there and things happen, they hear about it, they see it on TV, but it ain't nothing like when you hear that and that ball is snapped, and then, oh, my God.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
see the game is different.
Yeah, but see, and then you have to realize as that freshman that you don't worry about the speed of the game. You slow down what happens in front of you so you can read what goes on. That just comes with time. It's like a quarterback.
That's right.
You know, a freshman quarterback, when he drops back, all he hears is these 300 or 400-pound guys hitting each other, and that's not a nice sound. And he's dropping back and you're trying to worry if it's the pins is full because you know what's happening to him at this time. But as he gets older, he begins to slow that game down. And you hear pros talk about it all the time, you know. A guy who runs a 4.3 40, it's great, but in your mind and when you're connecting with him, he runs a 5.2 because you can actually read that number. So you have to slow things down. Now let's talk about your quarterback position. How solid are you at that quarterback position? Because that's one of the positions on the field that you gotta know what you're doing.
Well, we went into spring ball, we had one quarterback on the roster that returned from last year's team. Mr. Demaryius Davis, he did a great job for us. He took every snap in the spring, and I made sure that I commended him in front of the team for the job he did during the spring. However, we have recruited a couple of young guys and one JUCO transfer to kind of make that job a little more competitive because we don't want anybody to think that they're going to get handed anything. Everybody's going to compete for a position on this team. Davis, of course, he is the front runner. But he also knows he has to compete.
You know, that's interesting. Once again, another story comes to mind. I won't call any names. We had a quarterback when I first started that all of a sudden starts smelling himself. You know how quarterbacks get to be, I'm the man, I'm in charge, oh, yeah. You know. And then the offensive lineman would have something called 32 lookout. And you said, what in the world? They're communicating with each other. You're like, 32 lookout? You're confused because you don't even know that. You're like, what is it? All their 32 lookout was number 32 usually was the linebacker on the other team, and the offensive lineman would yell, look out, as he was blitzing through just so he'd get a shot at the quarterback. It was 32. We didn't know what it was until we finally figured it out. But that has a way, a tendency of bringing quarterbacks back around when they kind of get,
right,
quote, the big head. Look out, I always call it look out 32 or look out 42, whatever it was. So let's talk about the strength of the conference this year. Now, we always know the CIAA is one of the toughest football and basketball conferences in the country. But, you know, I look at it from the football point of view. How do you fit in this year? Now, I know it's like every other thing. When I was coaching, you know, they would have these meetings and stuff. We try to figure out who's number one, number two, number three. And I would never say anything. They'd always come around the meeting at the end. Well, Wood, what do you think? I said, well, fellas, I already know who number one is. I'm going to let y'all find number two, three, four, and five. But how does the conference shake out this year?
Well, I can tell you from experience that it's going to be interesting. And I say that because last year, when I was at Winston-Salem State, we lost to a 0-9 Shaw team. But we turned right back around and beat a 9-1 Bowie State team in the championship. And we ended up being 6-5. So the parity in the league is like no other. I mean, at any day, you can go out there any Saturday and you can be beat. So you can't take anyone lightly in this conference. Right now, my focus is Chawan. That's the first game we have. And they have turned that program around. Coach Place has done a great job down there. And they are up and coming. So I know that first game is going to be tough for us.
Yeah, and Chawan, by the way, is located in my hometown of Murfreesboro, North Carolina, born and raised right there. Yep,
yes,
Murfreesboro,
sir.
You can't beat it. Yeah, especially Whitley's barbecue. You can't beat that barbecue. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Anyway, I still remember it after all these years, man. Yeah, I tell you, you got to. It'll kill you if you don't, you know. But, you know, I've watched Fayetteville State over the years, and Fayetteville State really has been a powerhouse. I mean, they're always in the thick of things. I mean, when you talk about the CIAA Southern Division or the CIAA in general, their name always comes up. And one reason their name always comes up, A, because of talent, B, because of support you have from the alumni and the students. Talk about your alumni support, because they are really rabid fans. Those Bronco fans really love their football. They love their team and everything. Talk about what it means to have that alumni and that fan support.
Well, first of all, I will say the alumni has done nothing but good things for me since I've been here. They've been very supportive. They want to win. They want us to put a winning product on the field. And it is my job and my coaching staff's job to make sure that happens for them. They came out to the spring game. It was a very exciting atmosphere. Everybody was excited and pumped up and wanted to see what this product was and who this new coach was. So we thought we did a good job of showing them or giving them some insight as to what our season was going to look like. At the same time, we had to come in this fall, coming up fall, and bring in some new talent. And so I kind of told everybody, we're young, but we won't be young when we start in the fall. So they know, excited. They told me, Coach, if you don't win any other games, you have to beat Pembroke and you have to beat Winston-Salem State. And I said, wow, okay. That sounds good.
Wow.
That's not going to be an easy task.
Oh, you know, like I said, I played at Winston-Salem for a little while. They still hate us down there, huh? Oh, well. Yeah, it seems like it was a little extra. Yeah, it's like it's a little extra incentive when we played. You got hit in the mouth a little bit more. And I'm not talking about by helmet. I'm talking about by fist. when you played down there. Linda, you got some questions for the coach?
I do. Coach Hayes, how are you this evening?
Doing fine. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I do have a question. I did see that your school has won three conference championships, 2002, 2003, and 2009. Now, in your opinion, what does it take to win a championship?
Well, first you have to be solid on offense, solid on defense, and solid on special teams, all three phases of the game. The biggest thing to me in this at this level is that you have to have team chemistry. I've been on some very talented teams that didn't win, but then I've been on some teams that had major chemistry and nobody could beat them. So I think that we have to get our team chemistry together in order to compete for the CIAA championship this year.
Okay. Now, as far as academics, now how are you developing your athletes for life after college, and are they doing any community service projects?
Yes. Well, every Wednesday, the first thing we do on Wednesdays is we make our guys put on a shirt and tie to let them know life ain't all about sweatsuits and shorts. So we call it Dress Up Wednesday. The guys have to go to class with shirt and tie on. And the first time we did it, they were like, oh, coach, but I think they started getting a few compliments around campus. And by the end of the spring, they really enjoyed dressing up on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
Community service, we've been out in the community to a few elementary schools, reading the kids. We just want our guys to know that there is a life after football. Football is going to end one day. And for some guys, it's going to end sooner than others. So you have to be able to fall back and have a plan B as to what you want to do with your life after football.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Coach, I tell you, one thing that I think your players probably started adapting to that shirt and tie thing is I think they found out that young ladies really like a well-dressed man. And that would change
exactly
a football player's attitude in a minute. She's talking to me. Hey, Mom, I need another shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least send me some money to wash this week.
Doing it now.
Yeah. So now let me ask you. Last year you beat Bowie State when you were at Winston. Let me ask you this about go back a little bit to Winston. You won that championship game, but you weren't able to go to the playoffs. And I kind of found that interesting because I think it was because you didn't win enough games during the year to qualify to get to Division II playoffs in this region. But don't you think, and this is a question I've asked before, that if you go out there and they say you went out there and you beat the best the other division had, you were in the championship game. I don't care how you got there. You were in a championship game. You won the game. Don't you think the reward for winning the game and representing the CIAA is the representative needs to go to the playoffs?
Last year I would have agreed with you. We were hurt by that decision, especially because of the fact that we had been there before. The year before we lost the championship to Virginia State, and we were 9-2, I want to say, and we didn't get in. And then the next year we won the championship, and we were 6-5, and we didn't. We still didn't get in. You know, so it hurt a little bit, but that's the way the rules go. You have to win 7 games, I believe it is, within your region to even qualify, and we only won 6.
Man, because it seems like that, you know, and I know, you know, life ain't always fair, don't get me wrong, but it seems like if, you know, if I was in the, let's say I was a basketball team, okay, and I was 2-32 on the season, and I come up and get on a run in the CIAA tournament and beat somebody for the championship, okay, and the champion from the CIAA, same thing with the ACC, same thing with the MEAC, they go and represent the conference in the NCAA tournament, and they get to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, their record may be 4-4 in the season, but they get to go because they won the tournament. So
that's
doesn't
right.
just seem fair that if I win, everything you say I have to win. Now, the CIAA has nothing else for me to win, nothing else. I won all they had, and I still don't get to go. That kind of seem like, wow, that's just not right.
Right, and
I mean,
that's just
that really blew my mind, you know.
I know that
you say you got to win 7 games and all that stuff, but it's just like that. Just seems like that's just wrong, you know. I mean, so we're the only sport in football that says you have to win 7, but in basketball, I could go into the tournament actually 0-0 the season, and win 3 games and go represent the conference.
That's right.
You know,
it just
seems wrong.
We don't have football does not have the automatic qualifier, like basketball does. And then you have what you call, I can't even think of it, earned access or something like that. I think one year we were bumped by a team because of earned access, which means another team's another conference team won the championship, and we lost to V-State, so they bumped us, even though we had the better record. So it's a whole lot of different scenarios that you have to go through when it comes to that playoff, and I try not to even figure it out. If we're good enough, we're going to go. If we're not, we won't.
Well, yeah, I tell you, the old rule of thumb is, and what they always tell us all the time is, well, just win them all. Win every game you play, and then at the end of it, we'll see where it goes. But win every game you play, and then you ain't got to worry about
it. That's right.
Now, when you're building a program, and I would say building, but I actually say reloading at Federal State, do you find it better to – how can I say this? The quicker way to get to where you need to go, is it through bringing in JUCOs or developing the players that you already have, you know, there on site, or the recruits that you can bring in other than JUCOs?
I think you have to have a mixture of both. You have to do a good job developing what I call your program guys. That are guys that started here as freshmen and are matriculating throughout the throughout their 4 years at the university. But in some instances, you need those transfers, those older guys to come in to have the experience. Of course, some of those guys are going to come with some baggage, and you have to be able to deal with that baggage and make sure that does not interfere with the progression of your team as you try to build it. But I still think that you still have to have both. You can't do it with just all high school players, especially in the CIAA, because nobody else is recruiting all high school players. You have to have some transfers in the mix.
Yeah, because I remember once upon a time here on the Overtime Sports Show, we actually had the oldest football player in the history of football. I had him as a guest. He was at a school down in Alabama, and he was 61 years old. And he actually played, 61. He was a kicker, though. Mm-hmm. He was a kicker. He said, no, I don't get that. He said, when something gets wrong, the only thing my coach has told me to do is run as fast as I can and jump in his arms. That's what he wants me to do. So he said, I ain't getting hit by nobody, Jack. And, he was a quote, JUCO. He had played, dig this now, he had played JUCO back in the late 50s, early 60s, what they had as JUCO back then. And he had 2 years of eligibility after all these years, the NCAA determined, because he fought in Vietnam. Heck, he got captured in Vietnam. And he came back, he was 61 or 63, so he was old. And so he came back and had 2 years of eligibility, so he went to this college down there, and he was actually a field goal kicker, and he actually kicked a couple of extra points. Now, they didn't put a lot of stress on him, you know, and it was so interesting. When I talked to him that day, I had to do a tape interview because he was actually in between classes. So I'm sitting there like, whatever, you're in your 60s, and you're in between classes, then you go to football practice, and then you practice all afternoon, or as much as kickers do, because we usually throw them over to the side and say, just kick, don't talk to me. So you throw them over to the side, let them kick. And so he did all of that, and he was in his 60s. So, you know, and it was just amazing. And you think about JUCO players and everything, and they do bring a wealth of talent, but like you said, they all have a unique story behind them as to why they're doing that JUCO. Now, I'm telling you what, I've seen some JUCO games that were just like, I mean, rock 'em, sock 'em, some of the best games I've ever seen because you got some of the best talent on the field. But I saw at some points during the game where the coach really had, I hate to say, but had some, like, discipline issues and stuff like that with them. But those can be worked out because you really don't have a lot of energy to do things wrong when you're tired because that make your head get smaller. So, you know, you want to get out there and make your head get smaller. I want to check your lung capacity and see if you're in great
shape. That's right.
But now if I'm a kid and a parent and I'm looking for a school to come to and I've read a lot about Fayetteville State, but I really hadn't talked to anybody, so I call you up, Coach, and I say, I want to come to Fayetteville State. I give every coach this opportunity of every school that comes on. What would you tell that young man and that young man's family, because that's just as important to get that family to buy in too, for that kid to come to Fayetteville State and get an education first and play football second? What would you tell that kid to make him want to come there and do both of those things?
Well, I would start off by saying that we offer a quality education here at Fayetteville State. We have a top-notch nursing program, top-notch business program. Criminal justice seems to be a very popular major here. It would all depend upon what the kid wanted to major in. But anything that you come here and decide to major in They have all the tools, all the new technology. Anything that you see at a Carolina or anywhere else, you can get right here at Fayetteville State, and the class size won't be as large.
And I can tell you from experience, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to an HBCU, and I'm not knocking all the other schools, but yes, I am, but if you come to an HBCU school, you will, mark my words, listen to what I'm telling you, you will get an education. Now,
That's right. If you think
you're going to come to Fayetteville State, Shaw, North Carolina Central, North Carolina A&T, and you go, and you just going to come out there, and I'm going to be one of you say, I'm going to play football, you're seriously mistaken. They will yank your butt off that field quicker than you can say amen and hallelujah, because education comes first, and the privilege to put FSU, Fayetteville State, across your chest is earned. It is not given. And any other school, and I can attest to that fact because I know what I'm talking about. You get an education first. That's why so many of our kids that come from HBCUs, that come from the athletic side of things, whether it be football, baseball, basketball, they're successful in life because they learn how to organize and manage their life, and they learn that it's a whole lot more than just getting out there and putting on a uniform. If you want to be a D2 athlete, a D1 athlete, it takes work. It takes organizational skills. It takes professors and wraparound services and coaches that care. And they have that. And I know they have it there at Fayetteville State. And I know they have it throughout the CIAA, the MEAC, the SWAC, so forth and so on. I'm telling you, I know it's there. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want your kid to get a quality education, an HBCU is the way to go. I'm telling you right now. Well, Coach Hayes, thank you so much for appearing here on the Overtime Sports Show. It's been an honor, sir, to have you on. And hopefully as the season progresses, and I know from this day forward, it's just going to get busy because you got your media day coming up on the 21st, and usually after that particular day, all heck breaks loose, and there's no more sleep, none but cold pizza and coffee, and that's all the way through the football season. So, you know, I wish you the best of luck this year. We're going to try to get you back on the show if you have time. I'd love to get you back on during the season and talk about how things progressed, and, you know, good luck, and go out there and go get them.
Well, we're certainly going to try to do that, and I want to thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it, and you guys have a great rest of the day.
All right, Coach.
Thank you so much. That was Coach Richard Hayes Jr., the head football coach at Fayetteville State University in Fayetteville, North Carolina, as we talked about everything that is Broncos football right here on the Overtime Sports Show. Don't forget another programming note I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Ty Grace, the head women's basketball coach at Howard University, will be on tomorrow night to talk about everything that is Bison basketball, and I got a chance to see them firsthand this year as they came to North Carolina Central, and they are good. And so I see what she's done to rebuild and reload that team. And I tell you that there's nothing to laugh at. I mean, those young ladies know how to play basketball. They got height, they got strength, they got poise, they got everything they need to compete for a MEAC title. And I know this year they're looking forward to doing that. Well, Linda, it has really been a great show tonight. Coach Hayes got things going on down there at Fayetteville State, and I wish them the best of luck during the year. And I tell you, I just can't wait to hear the results of Broncos football. And don't forget now, you can check out everything that is on the Overtime Sports Show. All you have to do is go to our website at www.theovertimesportsshow.weebly.com. For who's going to be coming. I got to update it a little bit because we got new guests that I added today, and it should be a very exciting rest of the week. And then the show goes on a little bit of a hiatus because I do too. It is vacation time for Daddy, and he gets to enjoy himself for about a week, and then we come back and start all over again. But until tomorrow, 6:30 right here on Blog Talk Radio, I just want to say be careful and see you tomorrow night. Goodbye, everybody.
See ya.